Now, here we go. Once again, the talk show hell hates. The more you listen, the more you know why. This is Pastor Mike online, and I am live. And we were talking about Hillary Clinton and shape-shifting into a reptile. And don't ever give up on God. Don't ever give up on lost people. And you got to trust God. Okay, now, moving right along to some very serious business. And people, speaking of hilarious Clinton... I had guys texting me, hey, you watching the debate? I started watching the debate. I started it. I can only take so much of that woman's smirk. I can only take so much of her, you know, I'll be honest with you. It is a hatred for everybody except Hillary Clinton. And if you haven't figured this out by now, if you don't know or get this or understand this, everything that the conspiracy people and you remember the video Clinton Chronicles and all that stuff that was being talked about in the 90s with Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton in the background. Now Hillary's in the foreground. And she's worse now and more greedy than she was in the 90s or the 80s. Far worse. The whole point of deleting 30 some odd thousand emails from her State Department email server was because they would indict her or condemn her because she had a policy of selling access to the State Department of the United States of America, which is basically how every foreign nation interacts with the United States. It is done through the Secretary of State. It is done through that office. And she was selling access to her, thus selling access to the United States of America and the people of the United States of America to the highest bidder. If you gave large sums of money to the Clinton Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit organization that basically is this big petty cash fund for Bill and Hillary to live it up and to enjoy billions of dollars. That's what that is. And we know for a fact that people who finally got to meet Hillary Clinton, people from other nations, including Saudi Arabia, in order for them to meet Hillary as the primary representative of the United States, the people of the United States of America, they had to first donate to the Clinton Foundation. Once they did that, they could sit down in the chair next to her or eat at the dinner table with her. Now, that was just as Secretary of the State, a limited exposure setting. She now wants to be the President of the United States. Some doubts now, you could say this during the Reagan days, during the 90s, the most powerful chair in the world was the President of the United States. We kind of lost that thanks to the last 7 years of a weakling liberal. You know what? Yeah, I'm talking politics a little bit. Then we get into the Bible because I've had my mind on this since I've been up all night. I've not slept very much at all, so I'm always a little bit testy when I don't sleep, all right? But anyway, she is wanting to take the center position of one of the most powerful nations in the world. And do you think for a second that she will stop selling access to her and her position, and that the United States policy concerning various nations and or various issues will not be represented by someone who feels the ideologies and the values and the morals of the mainstream of American people. They will, we will not be represented by her. The policy decisions that will be made in the next 4 years, should she be allowed to sit in that chair and violate it, will be sold to the highest bidder. Whoever forks over enough money. See, and you're saying, well, you know, that sounds like politics to me. That's exactly right. That sounds like unchecked politics. It sounds like unrestrained political advantage. We're supposed to be living in a country where there is checks and balances and restraint and public service and accountability. And it cracks me up to hear Clinton's and Obama's talk about, oh, we're going to be transparent on this. We're going to be accountable on this. They won't even let you read the health care bill that you had to vote for. Cracks me up to hear these people talk about this stuff. Folks, if she gets to be the president of the United States, I will have to believe it will be because God wants it to be that way. There's no doubt in my mind about it. Don't give me this stuff. Well, God's never in favor of evil tyrants as governors. Read your Bible again. Go back and read it again. Read Isaiah 19. Read Romans 13. Oh, you said Romans 13. That makes you you're a hack for the New World Order. You said Romans. Romans 13 is in the Bible. Go read Isaiah 19. Go read what God told Egypt he was going to do. Because they would not submit to God's authority, God turns them over to cruel authority. And folks, this is where we're going right now in this nation. Let me read a couple of articles that are germane to what's been on my mind. By the way, again, tremendous time in Indiana. Two of the three messages preached there were recorded by me. I had a two-camera system setting up, okay? Two cameras, camera A, camera B, set it all up, got it all working, ready to go. And Monday night, only one camera recorded. Tuesday night, I fixed all the problems, had it all ready, and when we got started, I forgot to hit the record button on both cameras. Wednesday night, I finally got it right. That video is out now. It's called The Four Horsemen. If you've not seen it, God literally just woke me up that Wednesday morning and just was, you know, just I was just walking through the Bible in my mind. And, you know, I got up, and we have a camper now, and we were at this really beautiful campground, and it was nice, cool morning, and I'd make my coffee, and I'd go out and sit with my Bible, and I'd read the Bible and drink the coffee and sit there and think. And, man, I tell you, it was good. So, anyway, that's out. Lindsay's working on Monday night's message. I can't say if we're going to be able to do anything with Tuesday night. It's in pieces. Jazz and probably Donna screen captured it, but the streaming quality was not good. And so it just wasn't one of the best that I, you know, best video productions we've ever done here. So anyway, but we're going to try to get that out. Anyway, and somebody actually called the other day. I think it was yesterday, and asked me a question, and this is how I answered the question. I'm going to answer the question today, how I answered it yesterday, about certain things in the book of Daniel, or certain things in the Bible. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not. There's some things in the book of Daniel, when you examine it, even the sentence structure doesn't make sense. It's hard. I'd say the last five chapters, maybe six chapters of the book of Daniel are very difficult just to read and grasp it, much less put it into a picture form, which is what your mind does, put it into a picture form so that you can kind of get an image of what's going to come down the road. And I got a call yesterday. Guy said, Pastor, I don't understand it. Why don't you fill me in? Why don't you tell me what it means? And I'll tell you the answer here in a little bit. Let's see here. Clinton turned into a shapeshifter. We got a black moon coming up on Friday. That's an article out there, and people are saying that's the end of the world. And it's coming, and it's because there's a black moon out there. And folks, I don't fall for that stuff. I bought a book last week, ordered it from Amazon. Somebody, one of you astute watchers out there, sent me a copy of an advertisement for a new book coming out. Said, Pastor, you might want to take a look at this. And I looked at what they sent, and I went, hey, I'm going to order that book. It's a new one by Jonathan the Khan. The guy who wrote the Shemitah and the four, what is it? What was the other one? Can't think. I'm tired. Want to go to bed. The Harbinger. And if you haven't figured out Jonathan Khan by now, he presents himself as this messianic Jewish believer, rabbi that believes in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. And he's teaching the Bible the way it should be taught in the old-fashioned Jewish way. That guy is so full of Kabbalah in his teachings, in his mindset, in his philosophy, in his characterization of Jesus and who the Jews said the Messiah was going to be. He can't see straight. He literally cannot see the Jesus that you and I see in our Bible. He can't see that one. It's different. There's a video, and I use this video of him openly and blatantly drawing an analogy about Jesus from the Zohar, which is one of the Jewish fable books that teaches Kabbalah. You can't just teach Kabbalah like John 3:16. You can't do that. You have to. It's such a big secret that you have to. It's a mystery wrapped in an enigma, surrounded by a riddle, covered with cheese and bacon. Okay? And it's not ever understood. And that's what the Zohar is. And here is Khan pulling from the Zohar this ancient mystical Jewish fable teaching about Golgotha, which is where the word Golgotha comes from. But in that Zohar Kabbalistic mindset, the Golgotha referred to, number one, it says that from Golgotha is like the salvation of the worlds. Folks, there's like this world, period, right now. That concept of the worlds, if you don't know anything about Kabbalah, you'll say, well, okay, yeah, maybe, you know, like yesterday's world, today's world, tomorrow, the world tomorrow, as the world turns. That's what you might think. But no, it's the concept of the Sephiroth and the Tree of Life and these 10 divine globes. And all these represent worlds and emanations by which God can work through man, and God can draw man back to God. And he does so through these 10 emanations, which are supposed to be the 10 commandments. It's all about law keeping and mysticism and these 10 kings and these 10 toes from Revelation 13, Revelation 17, Daniel chapter 2, et al. That's what it is. He's preaching the gospel of the fourth kingdom. So now he's got a book out called, I think it's called The Book of the Mysteries. And I'm going through it yesterday. I just started. I got it while I was gone. I just opened it up yesterday. And I'm pouring through it. And I'm going, this. And now, number one, he's slick. But as you read this book, it's like a devotional book. 365 lessons that he gets from this fictitious teacher that lives out in the desert, I guess somewhere in the Middle East, And this teacher, this unnamed teacher, draws him in, and he's teaching him all of these Jewish fables and Jewish mystic ideas that see this word right here. This word contains a secret in it, in the language. The gematria of this word says this, and it does this, and it teaches us this. And he goes, and he... this whole page full of this teacher teaching him this mystical story about God, and that at the bottom he will give 2 to 3 scripture references, not scriptures, references, to make you think that what he just taught you came right out of the Bible. I mean, I got that from the Word of God, and I shouted, and I knew I was happy in the Holy Ghost, and then I decided to write a fable about it. But I think it is a book of Jewish fables. It is a book that basically presents God and Jesus as a continued mystery. And according to the scriptures, the only people right now where Jesus is still and is a mystery is to the Jews. Paul said, behold, blindness, I show you a mystery. Blindness in part is happening to the Jews, to the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Blindness in part is because there's a veil over the law. And every time they look at the Old Testament, they can't see. It's shrouded. It's mystical to them. And God to them is a mystical God. He is unknowable. His name is unpronounceable. There's no way that we can comprehend anything about him. In fact, one of the books I have on the Zohar and Kabbalah calls him the nothing. They call God the ultimate. Michael Lightman, or Lightman, whatever you pronounce his name, a Jewish rabbi, writes all these books on the Kabbalah and the Zohar, and he calls him the nothing. And I'm just going, I'm sorry, I know a God that to me is nothing, but that's not the one I serve. So anyway, I may be presenting something on that here before too long. Let me read these articles. Monsanto licenses CRISPR. Told you so, told you so, told you so. See, CRISPR, there was a fight, and it may still be ongoing. A lot of these, you know, lawsuits, if you watch Judge Judy, a lawsuit's done in, what, 10, 15 minutes? Sometimes they take the whole 30-minute show. How dare these people? Big corporate lawsuits like over CRISPR and stuff like that, these things go on for years. But there's lawsuits about who actually owns the DNA editing technology called CRISPR. Because whoever owns it, whoever has it in their hands, is going to be a multi-billionaire or heiress. Because these corporations, Monsanto, Microsoft, Google, China, these companies are falling all over themselves to be able to use the CRISPR DNA editing system in order to be the first to be able to market the cure for death. I talked about that in the Four Horsemen video. The article came out last week. Microsoft getting into, let's reprogram cells so we can kill cancer. We're pretty sure we're going to be able to do it in 10 years. Oh, by the way, we're going to use DNA as computers, and we're going to let the DNA computers tell us what part of the DNA to take out and what part of it, what new DNA needs to be implanted into that so the person doesn't get cancer. Monsanto licenses CRISPR technology, which means that Monsanto, whoever has it legally right now, aside from the lawsuits, just got a ton of money from Monsanto. They license CRISPR technology to modify crops with key restrictions. Well, that, I feel a lot better. I mean, I probably won't even read this article because they're going to have like key restrictions, which means that they're not going to do anything bad, right? I mean, they wouldn't, would they? Agricultural giant Monsanto has licensed CRISPR/Cas9 genome editing technology from the Broad Institute for use in seed development. See, I don't know, just 1 Peter 1, you know, being born again. You know, that verse, that being born again, not of Monsanto seed. Okay, but of not of Vaticanus seed. Not of Mount Sinaiticus seed. Not from the NIV. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth for it. See, the Bible already has death beaten. The Bible does. The Bible, this is kind of where I'm going today, if I ever get around to it. The Bible already is what most pastors say that it's not. Well, you know, the Bible is not what it appears to be. The Bible is not necessarily written by one hand. It was written by several men over several thousand years. It doesn't really represent, you know, a concrete, you know, connection between all the writers. And unfortunate errors have crept into the manuscripts over thousands of years. And there's really no hope that we can know everything that God had we believe the original manuscript. They were the inerrant word of God. Absolutely. Praise God. But now you listen to me while I tell you what I want you to believe the Greek and the Hebrew says. You gotta get it from me, or you won't know it. That's doctrine of Nicolaitans. That is being born again of corruptible seed, not of incorruptible. If man can corrupt it, if man can alter it, we know that preachers are doing it from their mouth. We know that they're altering and corrupting God's word from their mouth. But see, here's where it really gets where it really applies to you is from their mouth to your heart. When you hear these guys say, now, you know, what it really said, what the Hebrew really says is, it's your Bible's kind of misleading you. What the Bible really says is this. Or like with the Jimmy Swaggart, Donnie Swaggart Bible. Practically on every page in the New Testament is in the middle of the... They didn't even put it in the margins. They put it right smack dab in the middle of the verse. They had God's word mingled with their words, and their words say on nearly every page in the New Testament. This is a unfortunate translation in the King James. It is better translated this way. And I mean on nearly every page in the New Testament. The scientists learned it from the preachers a long time ago. Can we change DNA? I mean, isn't it like sacred? You know, like we're not like going to be humans anymore. Can we really do that? And the preachers are going, what? We've been changing the Bible for years. I don't know why you don't do that. We got Catholic Church Bibles. Been changed for 1,000 years. I told you, I ain't gonna sleep last night. Man, I'll tell you what, I'll be let's see here. A step that will likely accelerate and simplify the creation of crops that are resistant to drought or have a consumer-pleasing property such as soybean oil with fats as healthy as those in olive oil. See, consumer. What does your King James Bible say about where the root of all the evil is? Why is Monsanto? You have to ask the question: is Monsanto the board of directors of Monsanto? Is it some Dominican monks who feed poor people all day long and pray and work their garden and have this ascetic lifestyle where they give to the poor every day in exchange for nothing? Is that Monsanto? No. The reason why Monsanto wants to license, the reason why they're going to spend the money to obtain a license to use the gene editing technology, and if I guarantee you, if Jennifer Doudna, who is the woman who basically came up with this, if she worked for Monsanto at any time in her past, her lawyers would have been all over her saying, that's our property. That's our property. You did that while you were in it. That's what they would have done. Apparently, she didn't ever work for Monsanto, so she's got it pretty clear. And the reason why they're willing to pay money for to license this, probably an exorbitant amount of money, because it's the popular thing. You can charge whatever you want to charge for this thing. And Monsanto is willing to do it. Why? Because they believe with all their heart that they are going to make a killing on this. Now, I use that word correctly. I'm not that sleepy. They're going to make a killing on this, both financially and, yeah, you figured out. Monsanto cannot use it for gene drive, the controversial technique that can spread a trait through an entire population with unknown consequences. Gene drive. Instead of changing one cell in your body, we're going to change every one of them so that your entire creature is different, is transformed, is changed. Since 2013, the Broad Institute has issued more than a dozen licenses for commercial research using CRISPR-Cas9, including to Editas. Here we go. Editas, that's a corporation called Editas. I'll give you 5 seconds to guess what Editas, what field are they in? Do they make music CDs? Editas, do they make Hollywood films? The company Editas. 5 seconds to figure out what the second part of their name is. Editas Medicine. Another company, GE, which stands for General Electric. But it's a division of, I'll give you 5 seconds to figure out what division of General, and you may not even know that they had this division. General Electric Healthcare Corporation. This is these two companies, Editas Medical and GE Healthcare, have already licensed CRISPR. And they've already jumped a gun on this thing. I mean, they got started out of the starting blocks, and Monsanto's going,
I didn't hear that. I didn't hear the gun. Can I
go run now? Yeah, you can run 5 seconds ago. GE's already out there altering genes and DNA for medical purposes. This is the first agricultural use. Genome editing of crops offers the potential of increasing yields, reducing the use of chemical pesticides, making strains tolerant of the droughts that are becoming more frequent with global climate change, which nobody really believes in. But just as in biomedicine, the use of genome editing in agriculture raises important ethical and safety concerns. We play the music for that. Eternal life and, your name written in a book of life and stuff like that. Okay? And whenever you guys are ready for me to go to bed and sleep this off, you just give me a call, send me an email. What else was I going to read? That was Monsanto. I got to read something else to you, too, before I get too far into this. There's another article, Breaking Taboo, Swedish Scientist Modifies DNA in Human Embryos. Do you know what a human embryo is? It's two words, and you just drop the second word, human embryo. Just drop that second word. It's a human. Swedish scientist. They got tired of putting holes in cheese. And now they've gone to taking human beings. Because that's what an embryo is. It is in an embryonic stage, but it doesn't matter. God is the one who forms them in the womb. And he said, before I form thee, before I formed thee, I knew thee. And I did. I was reading that and I'm just going, those are human babies in an embryonic state that these guys are monkeying around with. Could be literally monkeying around. It could be like, let's give them monkey hair or something like that. Okay? Unbelievable. Swedish scientists doing that right now. Here's another one from the UK. Now, this is something that I have been following it practically ever since I started doing a Watchman broadcast in 2009. There was an article that came out, I think in 2010 or something like that, early on, about the United Kingdom, and they were having meetings, high level meetings, on the prospect and the possibility or the inevitability of dealing with a human being born within the realm of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, of a baby born in the United Kingdom with more than two parents. More than two genetic parents. Three. So here it is. They went from having high-level meetings to, you know, scratching their head going, is that even possible? Are we, what do we do with a birth certificate? What do we do with, you know, British are big into heraldry and, you know, where their bloodline comes from. And, you know, you live on the right side of London because you speak in the proper accent and you come from a proper family. Pure blood. I mean, they're big into that. How do we deal with that as subjects of the Queen, of dealing with human beings that have more than two lineages, more than two DNA lines to trace back to? How do we deal with this? They sat in meetings and ate pasta and talked about this, and now the world's first child created using controversial three-parent baby technique has been born in Mexico. It has been announced. Limited details about the birth were revealed ahead of the American Society of Reproductive Medicine's Scientific Congress in Salt Lake City next month, where it will be discussed more fully. According to critics, the procedure is tantamount to genetic modification of humans, or even, here we go, playing God. Oh my goodness. A report in the New Scientist magazine said the baby was now 5 months old. Where have I been for the last 5 months? His parents are Jordanians, and the work was carried out by a team of experts from the U.S. We're there, people. This is not when I started the Watchman broadcast. I saw that article. I played the music. I didn't have the sound clip back then. I played the music in my head, and I'm just going, okay, a child with three parents. Think about it. Daniel chapter 2, they're going to mingle themselves with the seed of men. That means that people will have a mommy and a daddy and a god, an alien, as their biological donors. They're going to have seed. They're going to have DNA from, open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 15. I found it's just better to read it from the Bible than it is to say it. Then if I read it from the Bible, then I can say it. Some of you are probably, you're just laughing at me today. Some of you are going, man, I wish you'd stay up all night for
Thursday PMO, too. That's pretty good. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 38, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. You get that, right? If it has a body, it has seed. That's God's word. That's what it says. Well, that doesn't apply to angels. Well, let's read here. Verse 40, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. Well, there you're wrong, Pastor Mike. Spirits, they're spirits, and they don't have bodies. Well, Paul said they have bodies. And every description that I've ever read in the Bible, every one of them had a body. Every one of them. I have not read in the Bible anywhere the chapter on Casper the Friendly Ghost. I've not seen that chapter. I've not read the place in the Bible where spirits don't have a form, that they are a formless blast of wind, and they don't have, you know, like arms and legs like we have. Well, okay, I get the they don't have them like we have, but oh, they have them. Paul said they're celestial bodies. And bodies terrestrial. Ezekiel 1, Revelation 4, Genesis 18, okay, Isaiah 6, let's see here, Revelation 12, Revelation 13, Revelation 17, all of these spirit beings, Revelation 9, all of these spirit beings have a form and a body. We know that we are not God. We know that we are not in a spiritual form yet, but we also know that when God made Adam, he made him his son, and he made him in the spirit and image of God. Now, I can't say that, you know, God looks like... who am I trying to think of? Who was in Oh God with, I need to go to sleep. I know that. John Denver and the comedian, George, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm talking about. I know God doesn't look like him or, you know, Ellen DeGeneres or, you know who I'm talking about. Good grief. I need to go to sleep. But God has eyes. God has ears. God has a right arm. Has two arms, actually. He has a right and a left, and he has, in the right hand, he's got a book in it. He's got feet. He's got a back. He showed it to Moses. He puts it on a throne. I don't know how close it is to what I have. I just know that that's what God has. I'll ask the question. You answer it. When you say, now that angel and human stuff, that never happened. I mean, angels, they're just spirits, and they don't... What do you think they got, you know? How did that work? How did they do that? I don't know. Okay, ask Nicolas Cage, okay, and Meg, you know who I'm talking about. The movie, City of Angels. But here's what I'm going to ask you. Does God, who is a spirit, have seed? Does God have seed? Yeah. God has an offspring. And his name is Jesus Christ, the only begotten. You take that word in the King James, look it up in the Old Testament, and You understand, right? No. No, that Mormon cartoon where God, you know, Elohim, God the Father, walking through the streets of Nazareth, finds the apartment of the Virgin Mary, comes at night, knocking on her door. Hey, baby. Okay? No. I don't believe that at all. That is not what the Bible says. He was conceived. Was he not? Was Jesus conceived? Yes. How? By the Holy Ghost. Was Mary then violated? No, she was still a virgin. So, if God has seed, and he does, and our new birth is a result of that, is it not? Are we not calling God our, I preached on it Sunday, right? God said, I'll be a father, you shall be my sons. Do we not understand that one of these days, when we peel off this layer, that there will be a manifestation of us as sons of God? How does that work? God gave us of his seed. That's how we are made in his image and in his likeness. And I'm not so out of it that I'm just talking out of my head or I'm trying to talk dirty. I'm just telling you, that's Christian doctrine 101. So the question is, if God has it, does Satan have it? And Genesis 3:15 says yes. And Acts 13 says yes. Because Paul called that false prophet a child of the devil. That's what he called him. And where's I going with that? That's pretty good stuff. I think there's incorruptible seed of the word of God, which makes us who we are, not only now, but in the world to come. If we are going to get a new body, people, if we're going to get a new body, and we are, where does that new body come from? It comes from the seed that makes it, and that seed is the incorruptible word of God. This world and everybody in this world is slowly getting into an anticipation mode of the time when the genetic scientists and Microsoft and Google and Monsanto and all of these other companies that are getting in on this, and they're right at the beginning of this, because that's where all the money's going to be made. They're getting into this right now because we're edging into the anticipation era of the time when man is going to be fundamentally transformed in at his DNA level. Where's that seed going to come from? Where is that going to come from? Where is that transformation going to come from? It's going to come out of hell. That's where it's going to come from, not from heaven. Do angels, do celestial bodies have seed? To every seed his own body. That's what the Bible says. And the big question is, are we going to let them change our DNA? Are we going to let them change grandma's DNA? Are we going to let them change the DNA of our church? Pastors, listen up. I got tickled. Thursday morning we left, we tried to leave Indiana like four times. You have to follow the roads we decided not to go straight home. We were going to go to the Ark. I think it's the Ark Experience or something like that. They made the Ark, Noah's Ark. And, somebody was asking me, I heard it was real commercialized. Yeah, it is. It's a little expensive to get me and Lisa and Caleb in there, but let me say this about that. Okay? It kind of goes along with, there's 45 minutes away, the Creation Museum. Now, I've never been there, but I'd like to go there. Okay? Would I pay money? Well, I've heard people saying, yeah, it's worth going in there and looking at that stuff. Okay, yeah, I would do that. And here's what I saw. I didn't see Bill Nye, the science guy,
buying his ticket to go see the Ark. I didn't see him there. What I saw was people from all walks of life in America. There was old people and young people and rich people and poor people there. And they were all paying money to go in to see this thing. And I didn't hear anybody as they're walking through this humongous boat going, "That's stupid. That's stupid. That never happened. There was no dinosaurs on there. Everybody knows." I didn't hear anybody say that. And there was a lot of people there. It looks like to me, let me just say it like this. The company that built this apparently at some point decided not to try building one of these in Iran or Syria or, you know, Saudi Arabia. I guess they just never came. Or Japan. Never thought they could get away, or even Turkey for that matter, where Mount Ararat is. They never really, I guess, entertained it. You think we can put one of these in Tokyo? People in Tokyo be going, what is that? They have no idea. You know why? They're not, that there's no Christians there, hardly none. And what I saw this last week was there are still Christians who believe that Noah and all of the animals were on an ark and God flooded the entire world. There are still people in America who believe that and are willing to shell out the money to go walk through this thing and go, okay, wow, that's pretty cool. So, you know, yeah, it's commercial. There's a restaurant there and a gift shop. And I bought a really cool book. I'll talk about it later, not today. But anyway, I had a ball and none of the verses that were anywhere were King James. And I'm just going, see, it doesn't even work. But the building was magnificent. Anyway, I said all that to say this. With Lisa and I and Caleb fixing to walk around to go get in to the Ark. And the guy's going, "You're Mike Hoggard." And I went, maybe. He said, "You're Mike Hoggard." I said, "Yeah, I'm Mike Hoggard." And we shook hands. I got his information. I just wrote him an email a little while ago. I just listened to one of his sermons. Old time, fundamental Baptist, King James only preacher. And does mission work in Albania and things like that. And talked to him and talked to his son. I think that was his son here a little bit. And it was just neat to see. But there's still guys out there that are going to stand by the word of God no matter what. And if you were to come to them and say, you know, you're using the King James, have you ever thought about trying the Message Bible when you preach? Okay, have you ever thought about that? These guys are going to laugh you out, okay? They're going to say, that thing's stupid. Half of it's missing. That's from the corrupted manuscripts. We want no part of that. The Bible we believe in is without error, and it is the inerrant word of God. It is the incorruptible word. It can't be corrupted. So, no, take your Message Bibles and your Holman Standard Bibles somewhere else, because you're not going to change the DNA of this church and this ministry. And that's what it is. The Bible is the DNA of a church or ministry or denomination. And for a long time, this one Bible was the Bible. And any other little sideline translation, just it never took off. This was the Word of God. And God honored his word. God blessed his words. What he did, in spite of us preachers, God blessed his word because that's what he said he would do. But now, the DNA alteration, the CRISPR Genesis 3 DNA editing system has gone in and edited and taken out of the DNA of churches and denominations and ministries all over the country, all over the world, thus altering the creature. You alter the creature when you change the DNA. And it's just like being in Kilimanjaro in Kenya, 2014. I was going to try to teach them about DNA, and I thought, I don't know if these people are going to know what I'm talking. It's got to be translated into Swahili. I don't know if this is going to work. And I asked the translator, do they, I don't want to think you guys are stupid. Do you know anything about DNA? DNA? Yeah, DNA. Oh, yeah, DNA. Yeah. Yeah, we know about that. Yeah, it's, you know, kid shows up. We got to find out who's the daddy. So they use DNA. And I went, yeah, sounds like Jefferson County, Missouri. Okay, sounds like America. So they know enough about it. Here's the thing, preacher brothers. And I call you that. Even though you may not agree with everything that I say, even though you say, well, I wish he'd pick a side and get on it or whatever. He says that. I just don't know about that. I call you brethren because I believe that we have the same Father who has given to us of his own self the Word of God, the seed, the incorruptible seed. And you know, I mean, you know how it is. You get together at a camp meeting or a revival meeting or whatever, and you're just kind of, you're walking through the congregation, shaking hands with the guys, you know, and every now and then you'll kind of look and see what kind of Bible they're got. And you do it, don't you? Right? You know what that is? That's a DNA test. That's a swab. Because you know that if there's a preacher sitting up on the platform, and he's getting ready, and you were told that, boy, that's a good camp meeting. Boy, I mean, we have a whole, the Holy Ghost comes down here, and that guy gets up and preach, and he's got him an NIV or a New American Standard up there. You're just sitting there fuming, and you're going, this ain't my family. This not who I am. Okay? That's the test right there. And we are living in a world right now where the augmented churches already exist. The creatures already have been changed as far as the churches and the ministries are concerned. Now we're going to dig into a place that up until now has been inaccessible. But now, not only is it accessible, it's cheap and accessible and very lucrative. Okay, because we're going to start selling things in the open market once we do the research and development and we pay off enough people in the FDA to let us just put this on the market without, you know, saying a whole lot and getting the laws changed so that we can, without everybody throwing a fit over it. We're going to get this out and people are going to start having their creature turned into some other creature, because if it's not the DNA you started out with, you're not who you used to be. It's that simple. And it doesn't matter if it's one protein. It doesn't matter how much of a change it is. It's a change. Think about it. God said, "Ye shall surely die." Satan said, "You shall not surely die." See, it's just a little change, just one word change, but we change the whole sentence. Okay, and I've heard preachers talk. You know, I talked to him about Genesis 3. Yeah, he's going to turn everybody into God. He, you know, Satan promised Eve he'd turn her, make her into God. No, that's not what it says. Didn't say you should be as God. I used to misquote it that way, and I went back and read it, and it's, no, it didn't say God. You put an S at the end of the word. That means that's a big difference. Mwana wa Mungu, right? Mwana wa Miungu. Mungu is God. Miungu is gods. Daniel chapter 3, verse 25. Who's in the fiery furnace? Is it Mwana wa Mungu, the Son of God, or Mwana wa Miungu? See, all you have to do is put a ni in there, and it's plural. Now it's Son of Gods. That's not who it is. That's not who my Savior is.
And I'll tell you what got me on this morning. I woke up and I went to sleep for about 2 hours and then woke up. Well, I might as well read the Bible. And I just pulled my iPad out and turned the brightness way down, you know, and I'm reading in John. So I've got a little theory, and I'm not going to talk about it, but I'm reading John, and I'm getting it, and I'm loving it. And then just this idea of the scriptures just jumped out at me. Not the whole Bible scriptures. The word scripture or scriptures jumped out at me. Because, and I've talked about this before, and I'm going to go back over it again if I stop rambling, but I've had people say, and they've written me emails or they told me on the phone, you know, that they talked to their pastor about, you know, the Bible issue and you know, he's, you know, the typical, you know, Bible college seminary line. Well, you know, all the translations have errors in it. And it's not important what Bible you read, as long as you read the Bible. And really, you know, the Bible, even if it's wrong, it's okay because we still have the living word in our heart. That's the inerrant Bible that I believe in. The inerrant word of God that I have in my life is the living word that lives in my heart. And they're talking about like a spirit, okay? And people tell me this all the time. Yeah, that's what the pastor said. He said they all got mistakes in it. Didn't matter anyway. We have Jesus in our hearts no matter what. And then that word script me and got to looking at what it means. What it means is it comes from the word scribe. In script, a prescription is when I went to see the doctor yesterday, he gave me some medicine. Or he said, go to the pharmacy and get this medicine. So I went to the pharmacy. Now, I can't go to the pharmacy and say, my doctor said to come over here and said, you guys had some medicine for me. Yeah, what's your name? His name is John Doe. Okay, John Doe, I don't see you in the database here. Do you know what the prescription was for? It's for some, some oxy and some, you know, morphine tablets. And stuff, okay. And he said I could have like 500 of them this week. Sir, do you have a prescription? No, he told me that. He said go over here and Walmart will give it to you. He said that I could have it. That's good enough, isn't it? That I believe him. I believe he said that you guys had it and that you were going to give it to me. Isn't that good enough that I just believe that? See, that doesn't work, does it? Doesn't work. They do it this way for a reason. Why? Because people are stupid and they abuse drugs. And you can't just go to a pharmacy and say, my doctor said I could have 500 oxys and 1,000 morphine pills. Because I have it. Elbow that hurts. Okay? You can't do that. They want a written record of it. And now they're pushing this all over the country. You're probably aware of this. I mean, years ago they started going after the cold medicine. Why? Because the meth users were buying up cold medicine to convert it to methamphetamine. And so now in Jefferson County here, there's a database. You can't buy over-the-counter cold medicine without filling out the form, showing your ID. It goes into a database. And if you try to buy too much of it in a month's time, they're going to come knocking your house saying, where's the lab at? Because people abuse the system. You have to have it written down. Don't you believe me, man, that my doctor told me that I could have that? No, I don't believe that for a second. Why should I? Why should I believe? And this is like people with their, oh, God told me this. God gave me a dream and a vision. And it's really just spells out that the black moon, on Friday, September 30th, is going to initiate a global financial. They're going to change everything to the mark of the beast system on Friday. God told me that, and it's all over Facebook now. I put it on Facebook. God told me that. I don't believe that for a second. I got an email the other day. I don't mind telling you this. I don't. Next week, if I can remember this, next week, I'm going to mention the name. But there's a guy out there who's, he's one of these former Illuminati insiders, and he's got the secret information that come this Friday, the Illuminati is going to do the whole banking, you know, thing that they've been wanting to do all these years, and world currency this Friday. He got it from the Illuminati themselves. They told him that. Emails going all over the internet. I got one the other day. Folks, don't fall for it. Don't believe it. Don't put your trust in that. Don't put fear in that. Don't be afraid of every YouTube video that pops up about how the Illuminati's doing this and the Illuminati's doing that and they're secretly doing this and all the. You don't have to believe all that stuff. You do have to believe the Bible. And so I'm just encouraging you. Don't fall for it. Don't go for it. If it's not written in the scriptures, doesn't exist. It's not true. Your enemies, everything in this universe that hates you and is trying to kill you, is all written down in your Bible. You don't believe that? David said, "Thy right hand, O Lord, hath found out all mine enemies." What's in God's right hand? The book. You want to find out who your enemies are, both spiritual and physical? Read the book. You'll find it out. Okay. Other than that, I wouldn't believe it. Just like nobody would believe you going to the pharmacy and telling them that you can have all the cold medicine. You can have you ordered a case of cold medicine. Okay. Nobody's going to believe that. You have to have it scripted. There has to be written. It has to be written down. Someone tells you God told them something. Where's that written at? I want to read that. Show me what verse that, well, it's not in the Bible. Then it doesn't come from God. It's that simple. I hope you're not tired of me yet today. Because I can tell you, I'm tired of me already. Anyway. I taught this several times, and I mentioned it last week. This is absolutely amazing, because the question came up yesterday, and I spent time with the guy on the phone, and he sent me an email back thanking me for that, and I appreciate that because I don't always get time to pick the phone up. Okay, I don't, and I'm sorry for that, but I wish I could, but I don't. I can't, sometimes I can't answer it. Sometimes I can't come to the phone. I can't break away from what I'm doing. And so, you know, when I do talk to people, and I don't mind if I've got time, he wrote back and said, man, he said, you bless me so much. I appreciate that. I really do. And, but anyway, he asked a question about Daniel and some of the timelines that are in the last five chapters of the book of Daniel. And I said, I don't have a clue about how those work. I said, to me, they're confusing. And I said, even the language structure, the sentence format of like Daniel 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, I don't get it. It's not my English teacher at Twin City Christian Academy, Festus, Missouri, taught me how to diagram sentences, and I still know how to do it. And if I were to go to try to diagram some of those sentences in the book of Daniel, I wouldn't have a clue on some of them. And I'm not saying that the translators did a lousy job translating the book of Daniel. I think it's that way for a reason. And I'll try to explain that, of why I think that.
Daniel is still part, part of Daniel is now Daniel 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and 6. I mean, those are pretty easy. I get them. Okay, there's a lot of good symbolism there, but there's a lot of good substance as well. And it's telling stories and it makes sense. You get into Daniel 7 and these beasts, and you get in the horns. And what are were there three horns that were taken out, or did the three horns become the one horn? Or, you know, is it 1,230 days? Is it 2,390? I mean, I don't get it. Okay, I don't understand it. Part of that is still sealed up. It's not been outed yet. And I'm going to explain the process in this fashion, because this is how your body works right now. In every cell of your body, most cells of your body is fulfilling prophecy. It's what it's doing. It's fulfilling prophecy. Your DNA, at the moment of your conception, everything that you are now was written out. But it hadn't happened yet. That's a prophecy. It was foretold. It's going to happen this way. We are going to give them red hair. It's just that they don't have a head to put it on yet. So, we can't have the red hair until we make the head. Once we make the head, we'll put the red hair on it. But that was all written out in your DNA. And your DNA right now is fulfilling its prophecies. What if it's designed, the things that it's designed to produce in your body, it's doing it right now. But there are some things that don't show up automatically. As you can see, I'm kind of losing it up here. I did not anticipate that. You go back and look at some of my videos from 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, and I had this luscious brown hair, thick hair. I was looking at my grandfather and my dad, and I'm going, they kept their hair. I think I'm in pretty good shape. And I forgot about my uncle on my mother's side. Oh, man, he's... Yeah. Okay. But I didn't know this 5 years ago. I didn't know 5 years ago that when I go out now in the summertime, I got to wear a hat or I'll get a sunburn on my head. I didn't know that 5 years ago. Why? Where did this come from? Is this because the chemtrails? Is it the Illuminati trying to strip us all down and get our hair off our head or what? I mean, where did this come from? It came from my DNA. But for the last, let's say 45 years, or let's first 45 years, for the first 45 years, there were things latent in my DNA that weren't ready yet. It wasn't time yet. Ladies, this is easy for you. The moment you are conceived, there is somewhere in your DNA a number of eggs that your body is going to produce, and it's not going to produce one more than that number. And you get to a certain age, and then that last one is out and it's over with. And your body knows this, and then it starts the transformation of you going from mom to grandma. And it happens. But all of that's written down at your conception, and it was there all throughout your childhood, but it wasn't time yet. It wasn't unsealed. Let me explain that process. My body doesn't always need a 55-gallon drum of insulin. Doesn't always need that. Now, I can say right now that I'm at a place now, I've lost 92 pounds, that if I want to have a ice cream sundae every now and then, I go for it, okay? And it doesn't usually mess with my blood sugar, with the exception of if I go out and try to bale hay or something like that, after that, my blood sugar will crash pretty hard, okay? I've had instances here in the last couple months where I've had low blood sugar, and I'm going, I need some crackers, something like that. You know, have you ever had that? You know what I'm talking about. Okay. And that's fine, you know. But anyway, at that point, then something sends a signal somewhere and says, hey, we need some more insulin here. Gotta get those proteins going. And your body goes into manufacturing insulin. But where does it come from? If you eat chicken and beans and cornbread and hamburgers and ice cream and stuff like that, does the food you eat contain insulin? The answer is no. The food you eat does not. You can't eat squirrel. Squirrel didn't have insulin. Cinnamon. People say, oh, cinnamon, that brings your blood sugar right down. Just eat that cinnamon. I was eating cinnamon tablets, and 30 minutes, all that was good for was burping cinnamon 30 minutes later. Okay, if you want to use it, that's fine. But cinnamon does not have insulin in it. Where do we get insulin from? It has to be made. It has to be manufactured. If it's not there, it's got to be there. The formula, the prophecy of insulin is in the DNA. But how does the word, all listen to this now, get ready. How does the word become flesh? See this? This is what insulin looks like, kind of. It's built this way. The medical explanation is way over my head. But not only, and this is what's really cool, and I don't know as much about this part of it as I want to know. But not only does your DNA contain the recipe on the amino acids that need to be put together to make insulin, it actually contains the diagram of how the amino acids are to be put together and what has to be done with them once they're made. We used to have a daycare here years ago. We hired a young lady. Her mother said she is an exceptional cook. That's great. We need a cook. She was young, but her mother said she is an amazing cook. So we hired her here as a cook. And the first day she worked here, the instructions were, the menu for today was Sloppy Joe's. Now, if you don't know what that is, you know, ground beef, or as they say in Kenya, minced meat, minced beef. It is ground beef fried, or, you know, cooked. And then you add tomato sauce and, you know, whatever kind of spices you like. If you like it hot or you like it kind of sweet or whatever. But it's a sort of a ground beef mixture with sauce, and you put it on buns. Okay. So she was supposed to make that, just said Sloppy Joe's. So I go to the mailbox and I walk back through the fellowship hall in the kitchen there. Remember, we got a daycare here. Good kids are going to be coming out 11 o'clock. They're wanting to eat. And it's like quarter after 10, and she's told to make Sloppy Joe's. And in this big pot, she's dumped the ground beef, uncooked, all the spices, all the tomato sauce, everything in there all at once, and was going to cook it. And I'm going, what is that? She said, Sloppy Joe's. And I went and found her boss, and I said, you need to get out there. She said she knew how to cook. You go out there and you make the call, okay? The next day I came through here, and I don't know what they were supposed to have for lunch, but it included, I guess, more ground beef. She had it in one of those big silver metallic bowls. You know what I'm talking about? This raw ground beef inside one of these big metal silver bowls, shoved in the microwave, it running on high, sparks coming out of this bowl. And I ran over there like that, and I jerked it open, and she cried. Because putting something together is not just about the ingredients. It's about how the ingredients are put together. And DNA does not only contain the code for what amino acids are made to make the protein of insulin. It also contains the instructions. See all those swirlies in there? Okay? That's called, I think it's called protein folding or something like that. And yes, your DNA and your body has a machine that not only takes the raw ingredients and puts them together, but then it forms them and fashions them in such a way as they do exactly what they're supposed to go do. I mean, ask yourself the question. When, like in the spring when you sneeze, you know, and all that stuff comes out of your nose because, you know, allergies, is that insulin? Is that insulin coming out of your nose? No, it's not. Get it? That's pretty good. Okay. It's not. It's mucus. That's a different part of your DNA. That's a different recipe. That's a different way of folding the proteins. Mucus doesn't do what insulin does. Insulin doesn't do what mucus does. Insulin doesn't come shooting out of your nose when you sneeze. It's two different things. It's in different parts of the code book. And there's a reason why I'm telling you this. Okay? There's a reason. Because, you know, right now, it's pretty good. We've got clear air here in Missouri. I just don't have a need for a lot of mucus right now. I just don't need it. Come January, yeah, I'll probably need more, but now I don't need it. Okay, so you know what? There's not much in my body going on in the way of manufacturing mucus. And, you know, I try to keep low carb, low sugar food still because it's good for me that way. And so I just don't have the need for a ton of insulin, which my body can make better now than it used to. And here's why I'm telling you all this, okay? Because it's not only important that it's in the DNA, but how does it become what it needs to be? How did God take this book and turn that into a guy reading it one day, bawling his eyes out, pointing to verses saying, God, you're not a liar. You said, this is what you said. And God, I'm not going to make it if this is not true. How did that happen? Okay. Or better yet, okay, how does it work? I'm going to show you this. Transcription. Now, what you can do, you probably won't have time to do it. I won't have time to do it today. Get the King James Pure Bible Search software, type in script. And put an asterisk next to it. That'll give you scripture and scriptures. And do that study. It's like 50 some odd times that words are used in the Bible. One time in the Old Testament, it's interesting, it's in Daniel. The rest of them, they're all in the New Testament. Okay, it's pretty cool. But study how that's used, because I'm going to show you something here in a little bit. All right? But how does that turn into that? Well, it starts with what's called, this is what the scientists called it. I didn't call it that. They call it DNA transcription. There is not any part of your body, whether it's insulin, mucus, or skin cells, that your body just felt like it needed it, and it just sort of imagined a way to make it and put it together, but there is no record of it, no copy anywhere of how it did it. It just poof, just shows up, just magic, okay? And what I'm getting at is these guys, these people are saying, well, the Bible's limited. I have the living word inside of me. That's what makes me a child of God, is that thing I feel on the inside. It's all about the feelings and emotions, right? But not about the words. Not about what's on the page. And if you study that word scripture or scriptures, it becomes very clear to you that Jesus didn't do it, but what it fulfilled, the scriptures, what was written down. And so the first process of this is transcription, DNA transcription. And here's a picture of it, Deuteronomy 17:18. It shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites, which means it's going to come out of the tabernacle. A copy from the DNA code book in the tabernacle, in the most holy place, in the nucleus, He's gonna have a copy of it, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. Did you know that there is a machine in your body right now that does nothing but read the book? It does nothing but that. It reads the DNA code. All the way. Reads it. Gets to a place now where it needs to make insulin. And then it scans and scans and scans and reads and comes to the place where that is initiated and it starts making it. And then when it ends, gets to the end of it, it stops and goes on and does something else. Okay? Anyway, he shall be with him, and he shall read there in all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, and to do that. I mean, you want to live, right? You're going to need insulin. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment. You get that? In your body, the commandment is the DNA. And if your body turns aside from the DNA, you are going to die. You're going to die the next time you eat something really sweet and keep doing it. Because if your body turns aside from the DNA, it'll stop making insulin and you will die. Unless you take artificial insulin, whatever. Anyway, to the end that he may prolong his day. See it, how it works in his kingdom, and he and his children in the midst of Israel. So when there was a king, when the body of Israel needed a king, the king had to come from the book. He had to do it by the book. And he had to write him out a copy of his own book and read it so that when he did his king thing, I have a dream. That was a joke. Anyway, when he did his king thing, he did it the way the book told him to do it. And that he turned not aside from it. That's transcription. We're going to not just read the book and say, oh, I get the spirit of that. I mean, I don't like the letter of it, but the spirit of it I get. He's not allowed to do that. He's not to just say, oh, look, the holy oracle. I've never read it, but it's holy, and I'm going to try to honor that, whatever's in there. He doesn't do that either. He's got to write it out and read it so that he does exactly what that book tells him to do. That's what's going on in your body right now, people. That's your DNA at work. Here's the machine. I'm tired. It's called RNA polymerase. Okay? Polymerase. RNA. You know what it's going to make? This really is what got me interested in this. You see down here this little red half DNA strand here, right here? You know what that's called? That's like the prescription, okay? That's the recipe. That's the, that's what's going to make the insulin. Don't need the whole book, right? When you were saved, when someone came to you either at your house or on the street, or you were at church and you went down to the altar, or however it was, when God was dealing with you, and you went down the altar and you said, I want to be saved. The preacher did not hand you a King James Bible and say, read from Genesis to Revelation. When you get it all in you, you'll be a Christian. He did not say that. You know what he did? He didn't give you the whole DNA code and say, we're going to build you all at once here. We're going to get you all real good. Everything's in the Bible is going to be right here. He did not do that. You know what he did? He gave you John 3:16. He gave you Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, 1 John 1, 9. He gave you pieces of the book. Why? because God was not at the day of your second birth trying to build the whole thing all at once. That's not what he was doing. All he needed was just the humble beginnings of your walk with Jesus. And all it took was just a few verses. That's what that RNA polymerase thing does. It does not travel the entire length of your DNA strand, all 46 chromosomes, and make everything that it says to make in there. It doesn't do that. As the body has needs, as there are changes, then the RNA polymerase specifically looks for certain places. When you call me or write me, had a guy write me today, Pastor, I can you give me some verses on how to just forget the past? How to quit worrying about what I used to be? And to me, that was real simple. I mean, I've had to do this my own self many times. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind. Okay? He was not asking me how God created the universe and how Noah got all the animals and did Adam have a belly button. He was not asking me that. He was asking me for a specific, there was a specific need in his life, and I did not feel the need to give him the entire Bible. He asked, I had this need. It's in my mind. I can't get what it is. It's a lot of you're not forgiving yourself. And I'm not saying that I've accomplished that in life. I'm not saying that. But he had a specific need. He only wanted parts of the Bible that were relevant to that need. And that's what I gave him. You see how that works? That's what's going on in your body right now. This is so, I love this because this has such depth to it. It has everything to do with why there are things in the book of Daniel that when you read it, you're going, I have no idea what that is. Okay? It's not time yet. It's not, here's the process. Okay? I'm going to explain this to you. I'm going to get out of here and I'm going to go home. Lay down, take a nap. Okay? And then try to sleep tonight. So you pray for me. But here's the process. RNA polymerase, it's like this little biological machine. And what it does is that it scans. It's flipping through chapter and verses in your DNA. And remember, DNA is so written like a book that it has periods and paragraph markers in it. It has a stop codon and a start codon in it. There is a genetic, there's a sequence of the four base pairs that the RNA polymerase knows starts a new sentence, a new paragraph. It knows that. It's looking for that. It's looking for John chapter 3. Romans. It's looking for Ephesians. It's looking for these things that are needed right now. When it finds it, it does exactly this. And I'm going to show you this. Maybe pick it up on, I got a lot of good scriptures go with it. We'll pick it up on Thursday. Okay? The first thing it does is that this double-stranded helix joined together by these base pairs. These base pairs are joined together by what's called hybrid bonds. It's like what is, you know, like you stick a lick paper and stick it to your forehead. Okay. Hydrogen bonds are what's holding it together. The book is sealed. It's rolled up as a scroll and sealed. And there is only one mechanism body that can unseal that, and that is RNA polymerase. Your liver enzymes can't do it. Your mucus can't do it. Your insulin can't do it. Only one thing can open those seals. So it opens the seals to the sealed book. It then straightens it out, unrolls it. It does. It unrolls this book. And it rightly divides it. And then it starts making a copy of the portion that it needs. In other words, when the guy wrote me and said, I need scriptures, I didn't just say, it's in the Bible. What is wrong with you? I actually copied the verses out, put them in the email, and sent them to him. Really, I don't think I commented. I just sent him the verses. Let God tell him what he needs, okay? And if he'll read that, that's his answer right there. I press toward the mark. Forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark. Our walk in Christ is forward, not backward. So anyway, it makes a transcript of these verses. It copies them out perfectly. How does it do that? Well, if it's adenine here, then it must be thymine here. And if it's guanine here, it must be cytosine here. That's the rules, and those rules are not broken. So when this little strand, and I didn't tell you what this is, when this little strand is made, when it's transcripted, it's done perfectly. And there are no errors in it. There are no mistakes in it. Or the insulin won't be made. There's not a way around this. I can still believe in God and be a Christian, and I don't need the Bible. There's not a way around this, people. If that transcription does not take place, you're a dead man. It's got to take place. It's got to be transcripted, and it's got to be transcripted correctly. It's got to be pure. Or who knows? There could be like one molecule difference between insulin and sulfuric acid. I don't know. I know of genetic disorders where people's bodies actually make poison that tries to kill them. And some babies die because in their genetic, something's not right, and their body makes their own poison and kills them. Okay? Things go wrong with little babies. I know this. That DNA's got to be transcripted right. Once it pulls out this one little segment here, see, it's not undoing the whole thing, is it? Once it takes this, it transcripts this whole one segment here, you know what it does? It rolls it back up and seals it back. Say, okay, we're done. We just needed that one thing. Do you know what this little piece of tape is here? You know what that's called? This is the script now. This is the portion that's going to make the insulin. It's called messenger RNA. Messenger. The Greek word angel, angelos, means messenger. Okay? Here's the preacher, right? Here's the guy handing out. Here's Tim Behrens, my friend in Las Vegas, Nevada, handing out chick tracts in Las Vegas, Nevada, with King James Bible verses, whole Bible, selected portions of Scripture. Why? In hopes that this transcript, this messenger RNA, will make a new Christian. And it has the power to do that. I'll tell you a story and I got to go. I met at one time, Guinness Book of World Record had him listed as the world's tallest living man, or one of the tallest living men. His name was Max Palmer. He had done various things in life. I ain't ready for the music. Including a professional wrestler, was in movies. Why? Because after he turned 18 years old, he started growing. He ended up being 7 feet 11 and 3 quarter inches tall. 3 quarter. Why not 8 feet, right? And he came to this church to preach. One of the tallest living men. I shook hands with him, had lunch with him. Great guy. His wife, this guy was 7 feet 11. His wife was like She was less than 5 feet tall. I'm not kidding you. And he had one of these pickup trucks. It was one of those back in the 70s. It was a King cab truck. They took the front seat of this truck out so he could drive it. And during the days when he was making movies and wrestling, he was drinking and chasing women. And he could have just about anything he wanted. He had money, he had everything. And he was so happy in life that he checked himself into a cheap motel with a bottle of whiskey and a pistol. And he was going to blow his brains out. And he said that when he reached over for the pistol, the spirit guided his to land on that Gideon King James Bible that at the time was still on the top of the nightstand, not hidden under the mattress somewhere, under the Book of Mormon. And he picked it up and he opened it up to the front. In the front of them old Gideon King's was a plan of salvation. And for the very first time, the transcripted messenger RNA made the simple substances enough in this person's new life to turn into a born-again King James Bible-believing Christian. He never shot himself, never took a drink of whiskey after that. Went around, he called him a giant for the Lord. You can look, his name is Max Palmer. He's got there's a few pictures of him on the internet. He's now gone on to be with the Lord. See, that's how it works. He didn't read the whole Bible. There was just a few things that God was going to get started in him to build on. And it was the messenger RNA that did it. Okay? And we'll talk about the rest of it on Thursday. God bless you. I love you. Thanks for putting up with me today, praying for me, whatever. I'll try to get more done tomorrow. All right? We'll see you.